Tonight's stories: hanging up,
packing,
bus stop,
Christmas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Brandon,
Sam,
Yvonne.
Yvonne is back.
Hi, everyone.
Oh my God, and Yvonne, I like the look.
Thank you. You know, I had to redeem myself after last week.
Yeah, very Aaron Brockovich, I'm feeling.
Oh.
No, it's not Aaron Brockovich.
The lawyer? Isn't that a lawyer?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
No, I guess
I'm not
she
a
was...
wife.
No, not your wife.
With short hair?
Well, she had like the very like, she work hard for her money, like that vibe, and that's what I'm getting from you.
Sam, I don't know if we watched the same movie.
Did you watch her body? She was a powerful woman.
She was a powerful
she
woman,
took
but
down,
not really.
What, tobacco company?
Were yeah.
They, or what were they? But,
or was it like a water?
Well, no, it was a water.
Oh, yeah. They're putting chemicals in the water.
Yeah.
Something's like a water plant.
Yeah, I guess it's not a movie. It's a true story. So yeah, I'm referencing crazy. Julia Roberts.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
And she's back.
She's back.
It's like, did we teleport to like tangent land? Like, yeah. She's like, okay, we're back, everybody.
Like, we're still busy.
We're like, oh my
time.
God.
Wait, we are in tangents, aren't we?
Man, I'm just trying to hang it up. Like, this
next
story.
Story.
You're the first one.
First story.
One of them.
Okay. Some of those stories.
Oh,
so this first story is, am I the asshole? My uncle said, fuck you, bitch, right before he hung up.
Oh, no.
Huh?
Okay. I, 43 female, am in the car with my mom, 68 female, heading home. She lives with me. When her younger brother, 53 male, calls and says, you know, I've been thinking about this all day and it's really bothering me. What is wrong with your son, 35 male, and why can't he get it together? Backstory, my brother has an audio processing disorder and was in special education all his school career. He did not graduate high school, but has always held a job or two. He's been working as a cook at a chain restaurant for the last 4 years, but his hours were cut from 5 days down to 3 due to low foot traffic. So I connected him with an acquaintance who is looking for an extra set of hands during the week to help with their small business. He starts the second job tomorrow. He also works for me on Saturdays at the farmer's market, but he is currently short on his rent this month by $400. Anyway, I hear my mom explaining to my uncle that my brother's hours were cut and he's trying to make extra money. My uncle then proceeds to question why she gave him their last name and then compares him to every person in special ed that he knew 40 plus years ago and minimizing plus combating all of his challenges. So I asked my mom while she was on the phone, did either of you ask uncle for money? And she says, no, I was just telling him what's going on because he asked how your brother was doing. And so I said, please stop telling his business to your family because now he's calling you to argue. He thought about your son's problem all day, but he has nothing to offer in any help, mentorship or solutions, not even a prayer. We are not his entertainment. Do not discuss our business with him. My uncle then says, hey, why are you in our business? I'm talking to your mother. And so I told him, well, that's my brother. And technically you are discussing my brother's personal business, but you haven't offered any help or guidance that I've already helped with a long-term solution. So if you aren't going to extend yourself in any way, then you should not be calling to discuss this matter. And he said, fuck you, bitch. And I said, and you're supposed to be our uncle, our family. Look at you. And then he hangs up. Am I the asshole? I don't think she's the asshole.
No.
Mm-mm.
I'm confused why the uncle felt the need to call, like
to complain too.
Yeah, and for what? It's not like they were asking you for anything. It sounds like you wanted to know what's going on with your nephew and your sister just updated you, but it's not like they were asking for money or like for your nephew to stay with you or really anything. Just for a listening ear because you asked for it.
He's just a volatile person. He's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's much of an opinion you can give on this. He just seems like the worst type of person.
Top comment says, no, he got mad because you're right and he can't handle that.
Agreed.
Yep. You're calling to complain. You're calling to ask about somebody, see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that they're doing pretty well. They just have to get another job because, you know, times are hard. His hours got cut. And then you go on to complain and disrespect this person who was your family for no reason. And then you get called out by that sibling and now you're mad. And so you're, like they said, you're defensive. And so you're now being disrespectful to somebody else because, yeah, you got called out for being nosy, rude, disrespectful, ableist.
Thanks.
Yeah. And especially like the brother's hours being cut is not in his control.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing he can do about it. And yet he's supplementing his income with two jobs and he has his own apartment. So he's doing something with his life in a sense because he's trying to take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what was the need for the comment and your input?
I think it's okay to be nosy because we're all nosy in our own way.
Yeah.
But you got to realize the energy you bring with it, you're going to get some stuff back.
Yeah, that's so true.
Because I'm like, I want to know stuff. I'm like, I always want to hear gossip. We're gossiping with Maddie's mom. And we're like, yeah, we like this.
But you got to know, back.
If you want sweet gossip, you got to like be good to get good stuff back.
Yeah, if anything, we were bad gossipers we pushed her away because we were joking. We're like, okay, thank you for telling us this. Now we're going to go tell other people. And she was like, don't tell anybody what I just said. And I was like, no, mom, well, it's fine. We'll tell them it was from you. And she literally ran upstairs.
And we deserve that because that's the energy we put into it.
And we haven't spoken to her since.
Yeah, she's never going to give you any other gossip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mama G, are you out there? I miss you.
Yeah. No, I like a good gossip as long as it's not in my life, okay? No drama in my life. If there's drama in other people's lives and I find out, that's good tea.
I think
that's in the group chat.
I think that's why people like reality TV so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you get to see, you know, the crazy stuff of other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like one of the last shows that we were talking about months ago, but it was the Mormon Wives.
Oh.
And I remember you were on that train really early. It's pretty good.
I was about to start it.
And I don't like reality TV.
Oh, you don't?
I don't really watch. I shouldn't say I don't like it. I just don't gravitate to it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me true crime.
Okay. Why are you clenching your fist like that? Oh
my God. But, she's about to commit it.
Next documentary.
Little did they know.
No. All right. I think we should just pack this up like the next story. I just basically took Sam's transition. Actually, now that I think about it, he said, let's just hang this up.
Yeah.
So let's pack this up. I think the next one should be, let's bust stop this up.
Let's Christmas this up.
Okay. This next story is relationship advice, but all these stories are from r/comfortlevelpod. If you want to submit your own story, head to r/comfortlevelpod to submit it there, where there's a chance that we could react to it, but also there is an entire community of people that we love to see responding to and helping people out and being a support system for them.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So this next story is relationship advice. I am packing my stuff up and leaving. Today, I got home really tired from a hectic, long shift. Some insight, I'm a health and safety engineer and deal with a lot in my workplace. I commute about an hour each day. Today in particular, I got home at 12 a.m. I was so tired. I ate my dinner and went to lay with my boyfriend. Let's call him Brian. Mm. Brian didn't look happy to see me or ask about my day. He continued to be on his phone. I went to lay next to him and just told him about my day voluntarily. I showered, ate dinner, and went to bed. He continued to be on his phone. I hugged him and wanted him to start hugging me, but he didn't. He turned the lights off and I hugged him and asked him, do you love me? And he stayed quiet and he didn't answer. I turned away and said, okay, I'll just be leaving and packing tomorrow. I like to sleep with separate blankets and I pulled my blanket and I jokingly said, I don't want your bad energy. And he immediately called me a pessimistic person. And I responded, you're the one that does not reassure me. He said it wasn't normal to ask if he loved me all the time. And I stayed quiet. Tomorrow morning, I requested the day off and I will be packing my things and moving with my mom. I'd rather be alone than with a guy who does not show me he loves me. I should not be telling him how to treat me. I live with a roommate, not a boyfriend. And then she adds, note, I feel like maybe I might come off as pushy or needy, but he shows no affection. I feel like I always have to beg and I'm tired of begging. I don't want to be stuck forever with a guy who hates holidays and cannot express his feelings.
So many stuff just being added.
You start with one and then... Yeah.
Oh, So I'm guessing this couldn't have started that night.
Yeah.
It was like an overreaction.
I said, because he doesn't want to hug you? Yeah. You're leaving?
But he's bad at holiday. Like,
he sucks.
This has been a while.
He hates holidays. This reminds me of those like Christmas rom-coms where like they break up and it's like, you didn't believe in Christmas. And it's like the first, you know what I'm talking about? It's like the first, it'd be like the first relationship in those corny Christmas movies. And they break up because they're like, you don't believe in Christmas. And then they fall in love with somebody else and then the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen those type of movies?
Yeah, but I think we're missing a little bit, but we can assume that, yeah, it wasn't just this.
Yeah, I know. But it just, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
yeah.
But so she mentions at the end about how he doesn't even like talking about his emotions. And I think top comment fits really well. So I'm just going to say that now, too. You can end a relationship for any reason, and you definitely don't sound like a good match. I hope when you're ready, you find a partner who treats you as you want and as you deserve. And so I think that's a good point of like, if you're just not okay with how little affection he gives you, that's enough to be like, yeah, I brought this up with him multiple times and he thinks I'm like overreacting, or when I express something to him, he like throws it out on me. So I think that's enough to be like, I don't think we're a good fit. I don't think we should be together. Because you make it seem like I'm clingy, but I feel like I'm barely getting any affection from you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just on two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad comparison aside. Yeah. The best thing to do is just to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you weren't compatible. You weren't happy. You know, there is a certain level that you can teach people like how to love you, but he just didn't want to learn. So why worry about it?
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a friend who was with a guy, and like, honestly, from my side, I could see him like, this chick is, she's a lot. She is clingy. She is like jealous and distrustful. But he, on the other hand, was knowing that she's like this, was like doing all the worst things to like
bring it out.
Yeah, like to exacerbate it, to make the issue worse. So I'm like, chick, you're doing bad things, but he's also like, he's not for you because he's not taking you where you are, where you, there's things you should grow, but there's things he should be doing to not make the relationship worse. So it's like those situations where like, yeah, we're just, like you're saying, not a good fit for each other, even though. Because I do want old people to realize, like, also look at yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right. You can break a relationship. If this is not for you, if you don't feel like he's giving enough affection, end it. But you also need to realize things you're doing in a relationship that can contribute to behaviors like this.
Yeah.
People could get tired of a certain behavior and then just shut down and not be on their phone and not want to talk to you. Like, that can happen. You can create situations by your behavior. No one's blameless in any, really, in any relationship to me.
Yeah, I would say even if she is that way, it definitely does still feel like there is no effort from his side.
Yeah.
So,
from this perspective of the story, I don't know how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got together, so there was something initially that attracted them.
And they're living together, so.
Right.
Like, the relationship obviously something progressed.
Something was good enough to get there.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm interested if she's ever talked to him about, like, I need more from you. And if he's never done anything about it, or if she's just like has been passive aggressive about it, and then she's like, "This, I'm done." So I think people can show their emotions without necessarily always having to talk about their emotions. Like even if you're not comfortable expressing yourself, or if it's 12 a.m. and you want to hug me and I'm just trying to sleep, I'm going to be annoyed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This story kind of seems a little passive aggressive. Like, there's not a lot of information, so then it's just, you have to go to what she's saying, but it's like, has he done other things to express his emotions? Are you basing off wanting to break up with him because of you came home at 2 a.m. and you wanted to cuddle and he was just not really feeling it? And then also, like, holidays and celebrations or whatever she said, like, have you determined why he's not into it? Like, have you guys truly discussed instead of, And did you even actually talk to him before you're like, okay, deuces, I'm out?
Yeah, I think a lot of our responses are based on assumptions, because I think we're all trying to figure out where she's coming from, and we're adding stuff to the story. Like, I'm adding from a good assumption that I think she's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trusting what she's saying about the little that she put in about her partner. And I'm just going with what she's saying. So I think because there isn't much to say, a lot of what we're giving is just based off of assumptions that we're assuming about the story and about OP. So I don't know. I think from the little that she did give us, the specific context, like Top Comment said, it's enough to be like, it doesn't sound like you guys are a good fit. You guys don't have to be together.
Yeah.
You know? But I also don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if you're like, I don't know if that's necessarily enough information for me to like fully say anything, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm coming from the perspective, because I do agree with that comment. I just know there's some people who are like, I keep getting in these relationships where it's like the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. This guy's not communicating, or he's standoffish or against me. And then I'm like, after a certain point, there's a pattern. It's not always the other person.
Yeah.
You're doing something that's inviting some of this stuff, and you need to examine yourself. No matter every relationship I've been in, I'm like, I don't feel like I've been in a lot of like that ended horribly, awfully, where I wanted to kill the person. But I'm like, every time it ended, I looked at myself and like, what did I do to contribute to the demise of this relationship? Mm-hmm. And every relationship, I found something. Mm-hmm. And there's something that they've done as well. But I'm like, I can't worry about that. I got to worry about me to try to improve going forward. So that's all I'm asking OP is just like, get out of it. You take your blanket, your favorite blanket, and then just look back and evaluate, and it'll help you in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say first, I really like what you said. Yeah, that was good. But like,
nice job, Sam.
Yeah, it's that look inside that you have to really do. One of my mentors, she was talking about, because she's like married, and she was saying how her and her partner will have these I suck meetings. And what they do is they'll come together, they'll meet about what they did wrong in certain, but it's like very objective. There's no, after you talk about it, there's no, you can't bring this back up.
Mm-hmm.
This is an objective look on how I sucked in certain situations. They bring it together. And then at the end of it, they work on an action plan afterwards to work that out, so it doesn't happen on in the future. And I feel like that's one thing maybe a lot of people should invest in doing in their relationships. It seems pretty straightforward. I haven't tried it with Maddie, obviously, but it seems like it would be healthy. Because
can you only bring up your things? Can you like, hey, I thought you sucked when you did that?
No,
you can only say,
I think you can only bring your own.
Yeah,
you can only be in the meeting. I'm like, well, there's something you missed.
Yeah, I'd be like, you sucked more than that.
Yeah. But I actually thought that was fine.
That was pretty light.
Yeah, no, it's like you bring it up and then they talk about it objectively. So you could be like, well, I thought you did this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an objective conversation on it. So in a way, you can bring it up, but it's not, you can't lead it and be like,
I got a list.
Well, you did this, and this. It's like, okay,
it's been
in
a
this
week
scenario,
since our last meeting,
I understand. I understand it now. But yeah, and then also I agree with Yvonne on the passive aggressive thing, because I feel like passive aggressiveness sometimes it can come off as like sarcasm, because I noticed she said, I said a joke and was like, I don't want your bad energy.
Mm,
but
that was not a joke.
That wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
Passive aggressiveness is never a joke. Even if you frame it as, I said it as a joke.
What's the joke?
Yeah. If you're actually feeling like you have some negative energy, that wasn't a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying what you actually think and trying to laugh it off.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. But the last thing, OP didn't give much about the aftermath of it on how he reacted. So I'm wondering if he's used to it. That's mm-hmm. the other thing I was kind of like, if he's used to her feeling some type of way about a reaction or something, and then it's this big blow up and then I'm moving out and then it never happens. Mm-hmm. So that's why I personally was like, just move on. Mm-hmm. It's the healthiest thing for him and you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's if it's not working out, then let it not work out. Let that be the thing.
Yeah, especially so close to Christmas, like this next story.
I was hoping someone was going to say, like, Christmas it up.
Have y'all seen this? The Lego Pharrell movie?
No. I want to so bad.
No, what
is
that?
Isn't that weird? It's like a movie about Pharrell's
life.
It's
really good, I heard.
But as Lego. It's like the Lego universe doing a biopic.
So, like, nothing against Pharrell.
Oh.
But, like, why?
Dang!
Like, really, why? And then also, what if it's Legos, right? It's for, apart from his kid. What kid is going to be like, yeah, let me go watch a Pharrell.
Well, I think they're Lego going movie. In and saying, let's watch a Lego movie. Yeah. And then it just happens to be about Pharrell.
And that's just disappointment.
Well, to be honest, all the Lego movies that I've seen are actually really good.
They're all
really?
Good. I'm not
I've against, never seen any.
I'm
so.
Not against Lego they're movies. Very I just funny. Thought it was funny. I'm like, are we going to like start getting historical dramas in Lego land? Are they going to just do crazy things in Lego?
It's like Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale in Legos would be wild. That would be actual nuts. It's
called fun trauma.
Oh, my. So kids, well, we're going to learn about some history today.
Go.
Am I the asshole for uninviting my in-laws to Christmas? Every year, my husband and I go to great lengths to make Christmas magical for our two girls, 9-year-old and 7-year-old. Our elf on the shelf, Crystal, shows up in the middle of the night on the 1st of December with a colorful, light, bright toy that says, I'm back, let the fun begin. Crystal brings our children small gifts to show how much she missed them over the year, and of course brings the Elf on the Shelf book for our family to read. Every night, my husband and I stay up posing the elf in fun positions, doing fun things, and so on. Santa is a whole different story. We make a big show of it. We buy them toys, and we always tell our girls that we buy the gifts, and Santa only brings one. He brings the one, not that they want, but that they need. It's always a fun gift either way. We bake cookies the night before. They stay up as long as they can to catch a glimpse. And we have the neighbor shake jingle bells. We leave reindeer food out for Rudolph. Santa brings a gift, only one, wrapped in completely different paper with ribbons and bows. We Photoshop Santa in the picture of him eating the cookies. We pay the little 99 cents to get the Santa app to call our kids and say their names specifically. All of the good, fun, magical things that come with Christmas. Well, unbeknownst to my husband and I, my mother and father-in-law had a conversation amongst themselves and decided that it wasn't right that our kids believed in Santa. They decided that it was idolatry and not of God. Now look, we are God-fearing people. We take our religion seriously and apply to it every day. But this is ridiculous, as they're not perfect people anyway and should be the last people judging others. We heard my father-in-law start to imply that Santa wasn't real one day while our daughter was on FaceTime with him. My husband quickly said, hey, please stop doing that. So they stopped. But a few weeks later, while on a FaceTime call, they told my youngest in her room that Santa wasn't real and that the elf on the shelf was demonic. Panicked, my daughter ran downstairs and threw the elf on the shelf in the garbage. My mother-in-law tried to deny what they had done, but there was no hiding it. Anyway, my mother-in-law had the audacity to send me ideas for the elf on the shelf a couple of days ago. Like, you told my child, Crystal, the elf was demonic, and had her so afraid that she threw the doll in the trash, but you want me to go get another one and pretend the Christmas magic isn't gone? She says, well, people are still doing it, even if they know it isn't real. I'm at my wit's end, so I just told them not to come for Christmas. We need time to think on things since they do not respect myself and my husband. We feel like we need to decide where they stand in our lives. My childhood was a rough one, and we didn't get the magical Christmas, so making it as exciting and magical as possible has always been important to me. I feel like I have just been robbed, and I'm so mad over this. Am I the asshole?
Did she say how old her kids are?
7 and 9.
Oh, 17 okay. And 32.
And they just... No, I'm just kidding. I don't think you're the asshole. I think you said it in the last sentence. You have every right to be mad. You decide when you're going to tell them stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's not other people's responsibility or place to decide like, well, actually, that's not what we believe in. So we're going to tell your kids that's not that that's right. demonic, scaring little kids.
Even if they're right, the elf on the shelf is a monster. It should not exist. But I don't have the right to tell your kids that.
Yeah, Sam, you sound like a Grinch.
I don't like the elf on the shelf, and I think it's very creepy. I don't get why people do it. But I'm not telling people to not do it.
But I think I also feel more bad for her, too, because she talks about how she didn't have that childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to bring that childhood to her kids. And like she said, it was just taken away from her and her kids. Yeah. But they had like five different things they were doing for the kids. So it just kind of sucks that it all got taken away from them. And it wasn't even their choice to do it, to stop, to decide when to tell the kids that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think she was, OP was asking, because when you think about it, it's like, okay, I'm not inviting the in-laws because of Christmas festivities, but it is more so the principle versus what actually, like, it's a, the concept more. It's the principle, not the concept, right?
Yeah,
no.
It's just the principle.
It's the principle of the thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's the principle. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they crossed a boundary regardless of what it was for. They still crossed the boundary right. of, hey, don't ruin my experience for my kids.
Yeah. And so like 9 years and 7 years that you've been doing this, relatively. So like, why do they have a problem with it now? And then especially like if it's not your kids, you're not, they're not making you put any effort into it apart from like, don't tell them that Santa isn't real.
It's hard.
Like, and why are you trying to ruin like the Christmas holiday and like excitement for kids, your grandkids specifically? So I don't understand it. I really.
Yeah. Cause when I was younger, it wasn't this big of a deal. I mean, you guys were going all out and I think that's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I was younger, like, you know, staying up late or not being able to sleep because you're so excited because there's going to be a ton of presents tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, specifically a few for you that you know are going to be there. It's like so exciting. And remembering, I don't know, 1 year, because I think I'd already known that Santa wasn't real, but I think it was just a matter of still like you said, the practice of it, of like, well, it's still going to be a special day for the most part. But 1 year, I just stopped caring about it for a few years when I was like a teenager. And it really is all about the effort that you put into holidays, because if you let it pass by and you just think of it as another day, it will be another day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do things like they were doing to make it feel such a special experience. And it does suck that now the kids don't believe in it and they're scared of it. I think that's the worst thing, too. It's not even like, hey, Santa's not real. It's like, no, Santa is a demon. You've had that little demon in your room for years watching over you. You need to repent right now. It's like, okay.
He knows when you're awake.
Imagine. He knows if you've been bad or good.
It feeds off the badness.
Like, I can't imagine being 7 or 9 and hearing about that. I mean, even when I was a teenager, like, demonic stuff scared me, and like, demonic movies still scare me so much. So, mm-hmm. like, yeah. being a little kid and hearing about that, I'm just like, oh gosh, that would be. I just got little chills.
Yeah.
A little nervous.
Yeah. It reminded me, because we had had a conversation about if we were going to let our kids believe in Santa.
Yeah.
And just how long it would go. And it is interesting that they took it upon themselves to do that.
Because I like what they did, yeah. to be honest. Yeah, where it's like it's one cool gift.
They did too much to me.
Well, I'm talking about specifically the gifts, where it's like the gifts are from us, mm-hmm. but there's one gift that does come from Santa, yeah. But it's what you need.
Yeah. I really like that.
What's the phone thing?
They paid for an app, so they call you with an automated message, but it says the kids' names.
And it's from Santa, like,
yeah.
Hey, yeah.
What up, Dan?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Steve. This is Santa.
Yeah, but I remember, I think one of our biggest talking points was, or maybe it was Maddie's biggest talking point of like, you know, you can kind of get a little bit of, or you can kind of stoke the fire for kids' creativity at that age, because it's like, oh, this unreal person at the North Pole is like coming to bring you gifts. You start thinking about, oh, what could he be doing and stuff of that nature, and you kind of create your own world. And I was like, oh, I never really thought about it from that approach. I think I would like to do that. But on the tail end of that, me on the opposite end, I was six when I found out. And that was the most devastating Christmas ever. But it was also the most great because I got a lot of presents. But I think it's because my parents knew that they were going to tell me that year. And so I was like, oh, no.
Oh, they chose to tell you?
Yeah. I was like, oh, no. But then I was like, there's so many gifts, so I don't think I really care anymore.
What's the normal people tell?
I have no idea. And for me, it was six. So that's all I remember.
I think that's early. I'm like, I don't remember when I knew.
Because I feel like I still knew a few years into elementary school. I think it depends on how long they know.
Mm-hmm.
Is how long you keep doing it. Like until a little brat in elementary school is like, you know, Santa's not real, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what they
want. She knows your dad, right?
And that's what my parents wanted me not to do.
Brandon was like,
kindergarten, yeah. The nicest, sweetest Brandon face.
I gotta tell you a secret.
Not real.
Brandon's not, Santa Claus is not real.
Brandon's not real either. I'm a menace. I'm the demon elf on the shelf. But no, and I think even after I had enough years of thinking Santa was real that I created realities and stuff. So I would say I was pretty creative. So I would say to OP specifically, you know, it is one of those things. It does suck. They crossed a boundary. But at the same time, just, I don't know, focus on like what could come out of them knowing now. Mm-hmm. Because I remember after that year, the next year is when we started the tradition of waiting till 12 to open up our first gifts. Okay. And that was, we still do it to this day, and it's just so much fun. It's not like a belief thing. It's like, can you stay up till 12? Getting older, it's like, nah, I want to be in bed.
It's like, I'll just see you in a few hours.
Yeah. And then we even like introduce it to.
Yeah. Or like sometimes.
To this one?
If I'm on FaceTime, because they give me gifts too, I'll open one of their gifts.
Oh, that's cute.
Over FaceTime, and he'll open one of my gifts or whatever.
Oh.
So this last story is, am I the asshole for not driving my stepdaughter to the bus stop?
We're walking to the bus stop.
Yeah, how old is she?
Yeah, not. Well, the
like, did you drive your other kids?
Actually, you could be right on that.
Oh, yeah.
I know how it sounds, but please hear me. I, female 24, have been with my boyfriend, male 27, for 3 years. We have two beautiful daughters, 5 and 1. The 5-year-old is from my boyfriend's ex-wife and has 50-50 custody. I absolutely love our girls and I treat them equally, minus age-appropriate accommodations. I'm the primary breadwinner in our household. I work full-time, Monday through Friday, and I start at 7:30 a.m. My boyfriend works part-time, 2 days a week, 10 p.m. to 3 or 4 a.m. My boyfriend gets up with our kindergartner about 4:35 a.m. to get her a Pop-Tart and wake up a little bit. I get up at 4:45 to get dressed, teeth brushed, hair done, and backpack ready to go. My boyfriend usually drives her to the bus stop and then leaves by 5:15. I normally go back to bed for an hour and get up around 6:15 to 6:20 to get ready for work. He usually returns around 6 to 6:10. That works out because our littlest sleeps in, so my boyfriend sleeps while I'm at work. If she does wake up, he just gives her a bottle of milk and turns on Miss Rachel so he can go back to bed. I know he doesn't get up during the day with her because there has been times that I've changed her diaper before work and returned with the same diaper on her. Mm. That's a whole other issue. My problem is on days he works, the 1-year-old has me up until 12 a.m. And when I get up around 4:45 for our 5-year-old, I really need that extra hour of sleep before work. If I drive her in, I don't have enough time to rest before work. Lately, my boyfriend has been asking me more frequently to drop her off at the bus stop. I feel like I'm doing almost everything to get her ready. The least he can do is drive her there. So am I the asshole for not wanting to drive my stepdaughter to the bus stop? And then there's edits.
No, I think you're just making a realistic thing for you to do. Like, you have an issue. You laid out clear reasons why it's not working. he should continue to do it. I think if you just lay it out like that, it should work out fine. I don't think you're the asshole for that reasoning.
Why should you go to the bus stop at 5:45 as a 5-year-old? That's my question. I'm just like, huh?
Maybe she's like the first stop. I don't know.
Cause like,
actually, yeah, those first stops be great, crazy times.
I guess I never rode the bus. So like, do you have to be there hours?
I think mine was like 6:45.
Yeah.
Mine was like 7, but I was like one of the last stops before we went straight to school.
I mean, I think it's like it should be a mutual, like alternating kind of thing. I don't know if they said why he needs help. Yeah. Getting to the bus stop, but like if he, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. When I first read this story, I was trying to figure out the like how much she does and how much he does, because I was laying it out and I was like, okay, so you work full time. You work every day of the week, and he only works 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it sounds like maybe 4 or 5 hours, because he goes at 10, comes home on, like, 2, 3.
No, 10, yeah, yeah, 10 yeah. 10
to 3.
And then, so you already get up in the morning and help him out, and you're doing, she, like, listed off all the stuff she's doing, so I was like, you're doing all this stuff, and he's getting her up, getting her a Pop-Tart, and getting her in front of the TV?
Miss Rachel specifically.
Miss Rachel.
Not any TV.
Yeah. Now Cocomelon. Miss mm-hmm. Rachel.
And then he takes her, but now it's like getting to the point. I don't think you're the asshole. Yeah. Like,
I guess now I see.
Like Sam said, you know. Well, actually, I forgot what you said. To be honest, sorry, I'm zoning out this episode.
He's like, I forgot to. No,
I mean, I think just generally, if you lay all these things, you can say, I'm doing this amount of work. I would like you to help me in this area. That's mm-hmm. a reasonable request.
Mm-hmm.
You work 2 days a week and it starts at 10.
You're like the primary person taking care of our kids.
You can handle this.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm understanding. Because especially when she said like she'll come home and the 1-year-old is still in the same diaper. That's, I'm like, what have you been doing the whole day?
That's neglect.
That's neglect.
How do you not care to like check on your kid to see how they're doing and literally make sure, see if they used a diaper. Did you go pee today, sir? Yeah, you did. Okay, we'll check to see if your young one who doesn't have as much bladder control as you also went pee today. Just a quick little
sniff.
Check, clean, new one, okay? I don't know. I don't have kids.
Do the new ones like do a design when they pee?
The new diapers? You probably can do the sniff test.
Well, that's the sniff test. Like, always make you laugh. I love sniff. They're like, I'm like, maybe that's just coming as a parent and you're like fine with it, but I'm like, that's crazy.
That's a
like,
big sniff.
This is technology has brought us that we have to whiff in the baby to know if they did or not. I thought there was one that like flowers like appear if it gets wet.
Well, let us know.
Cause that's what we need, man. I don't want to sniff.
Yeah, it just sounds like mismanagement on his part. Just get that boy needs some time management. That's what all
the reasons are.
And he needs to help out more. From at least what you're explaining.
Yeah. He's not busy at that time.
He's not busy. He's sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going back to sleep when his kid is awake. I would be freaked out because I'm like, what are you doing while I'm sleeping?
Yeah, the neglect piece is what's getting me.
Yeah.
I don't see how, because it's not just one time. If it was one time, she said comes back multiple days.
Yeah.
And that's grounds for like, no, you suck at this. Like, we need to get that together because mm-hmm. that's our child.
Yeah.
She can't necessarily take care of herself. You need to work on fixing that.
And if it's like literally depression too, because that can be like a thing of like yours, but I don't know. We need to figure out if it's your mental health. Like, mm-hmm. why are you neglecting our kids? Mm-hmm. Are you neglecting yourself as well? Or is it just our baby, because you're the one that's taking care of them while I'm doing my part for the household,
right?
But you're not necessarily helping me or the kids out as much as you could. So edit, he goes to the gym every day for at least an hour a day, and throughout our relationship he's lost about 5 jobs. I'd love to be a stay-at-home mom. Pounds. I've dreamt of it, but I can't rely on his income even if he did a good job. When I get home from work, he returns from the gym. He likes to take a nap before work. He gets sleep before work too. Also, sometimes when we don't have the 5-year-old, he will get home at like 4 a.m. and hop on his video game. He will willingly stay up late for that. I have a few people ask what he does for the household. He does all the vacuuming and most of the tidying up, picking up toys and dirty clothes, some of the laundry. I do the disinfecting and scrubbing and dishes. We both cook, but he cooks more, except for the baby. The other day, I had her bowl ready before everyone else, and I asked if he'd feed her while I got everyone else's food ready to go, and he went, "No, I don't like to do the feeding. I can't stand her crying in my face." So I don't know what she eats while I'm at work. I think he just gives her pouches or baby crackers that she can feed herself. I really appreciate all the perspectives that people have given me. I tried to vent to a friend a while back, but my boyfriend reads my text messages and got angry at me for talking about him behind his back. I haven't been able to vent much since, and I've been going insane. He has a way of making everything my fault, and having the outside perspective, it's helping me feel more sane. I've decided I'm going to be taking my taxes and fixing my car and leaving. He's expecting me to share my taxes with him since all of his taxes get garnished for child support. I'm a non-confrontational person, and I'm very nervous about the future, but I know it's what's best for me and my little one. Any advice for how to move states or stay sane for the time being is very much needed.
Whoa.
Okay, so this reminds me of like a TikTok couple or family channel that's been going kind of viral. I forget their name, but it's basically a couple that has like two or three kids and they live in a one-bedroom apartment.
I know who you're, you know yeah, I know. About.
Do you know their names?
I do not. Because I've never actually seen their videos. I've seen reactions.
But people are upset about... Have you guys seen that?
Never.
People are upset because the kids live in the living room. They don't live in the bedroom. The parents live in the bedroom.
They have like four kids?
Maybe they do. Like maybe they have four or five kids. The parents want to have more kids. Neither of them have jobs. She wants to... But she wants to have as many kids as possible. Mm-hmm. But they live in a one-bedroom apartment. So it's already really tight.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the guy... He wants to like do his own thing and you don't know why, but you basically find out that he has another kid from another woman. And so he can't do any W-2 or W-9. The jobs where they garnish your wages.
I think it's a
W-9.
He basically can't get a job where they are automatically take out your wages
mm-hmm.
because he owes so much child support. So he purposely will not have a job and he'll only get jobs where he's basically doing his own thing, like cleaning your car or something,
mm-hmm.
so that he is able to basically get cash and they can't take his wages. He's willing to not get a job and support his family so that he won't get his child. So he won't get his child support wages garnished from his paycheck.
Yeah.
So he willingly will not pay child support.
And he has an Xbox that they refuse to sell.
Xbox or PlayStation.
Station something.
The newer one.
For money. Yeah.
And And they basically are like grifting, like they're trying to get all their followers to send them stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds vaguely familiar now.
But anyway, I'm saying all of that.
That's a good Debbie dad, though.
That's a bad Debbie dad.
Well, he's working hard to be like, I feel like
he's working hard to be working hard.
I'm not saying Debbie dad works so hard to not pay.
That's a good perspective.
That reminds me of this, though, because I wonder if that's the reason why the boyfriend doesn't work as much.
Oh.
But I guess he probably still does a W-2.
Yeah,
but
I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's actually good.
Because why does he not work that much? He could work more like nighttime.
Well, she said he lost five jobs. So it's like
he
can't hold a job. That's probably the only job that is allowing him to work there.
Wow.
But I just want to say I take all my comments before you're not the asshole. He is the asshole. Leave. He also sounds very controlling, like reading your text messages and being upset that you're venting to your friends,
right.
your girlfriends, and now you don't have an avenue to talk about what's going on. And why does he expect that half of your tax returns are his?
Yeah, that's
I'm like
crazy.
You can have more tax money if you worked.
Well, yeah,
actually maybe not, because
it
would
all
garnished.
Yeah,
but like, oh gosh.
No, they find you through your tax returns.
They sure do.
They be finding people.
You said this. You see this $1,000 that you could have got?
It's
you actually owe that. So we're about to take that.
You owe more. So we're going to keep taking. Keep getting these tax returns.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just a horrible situation. But I guess I'm glad that OP is hearing. She wasn't, you know, she finally found a place where she could vent and people were like, yeah, girl, you're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, hopefully she does fix up her, I think she mentions in the comments that it's her brakes. So she needs to get her car fixed and then moving. But you're literally doing I think your life might be easier to a certain extent without him.
Mm-hmm.
This is
I don't really think he's helping you very much.
It's the good thing about Reddit, because sometimes we make fun and we're like, oh, people just immediately go to divorce and like all these big things. But her original story, some people just do not, they can't see the extent of it. It's when they write it down and people are like, that's weird, right? That's weird, right? Yeah. And then she's like, oh, yeah, that is weird. I probably should leave. I didn't even think about it like that. I'm just worried about this ride.
Yeah.
That our whole relationship isn't good.
Yeah. How are you upset about feeding your own child?
And how do you not freak? Yeah, no, this dude is not helping you. If anything, he's literally hurting your babies, neglecting your babies.
Yeah.
I think if you do have anybody that can support you or help you to raise your babies while you go work, I think that's definitely the move is to get out of there. He's not a good partner.
He's not a good partner. He doesn't sound good.
He sounds like just another child.
And that's me being balanced on men and women.
And he wants your money, too.
He doesn't sound good.
And he wants
good.
To be the man of the house, even though he doesn't
do anything.
Please read Fair Play by Eve Rodsky. It tells you about equal mental and domestic load and about how to have an equal relationship. Right now, you work full time and he doesn't. You bring in most of the money. He is at least partially neglected by leaving your daughter in shitty diapers. He sleeps in while his child is still awake. He only gets them a Pop-Tart in the morning and drives them while you do all the getting ready. And now he expects you to drive them? Respectfully, please stand up. Also, if you view the children equally, the fact that he doesn't want to drive his own biological daughter to the bus stop is crazy. What would he do if you both weren't together? You're raising three children. Edit, also leaving a baby with a full bottle while he sleeps seems dangerous. What if she aspirates? Even at a year old, they need more supervision. He works 10 hours a week and doesn't do most of the childcare and no disabilities I know of. He has no reason to be tired. Edit number two, after reading OP's comments and reflecting, I think the situation is extreme enough to warrant just straight up leaving and not trying to salvage it. The child is at serious risk of death or injury / infection. Or being taken away with the lack of care and being left virtually alone all day. And then OP responded, I'm in the process of getting my brakes fixed. I just need a little bit more money. My car is not safe enough for me to drive my kid 200 plus miles away. My only friends and family is very far away. As soon as I can, I'm going to get us out of here.
Can the family meet her halfway? I'm almost wondering.
Yeah, maybe. If she explains the situation a little bit more.
Yeah. Because she's... Seems like she's fortunate enough to have a good relationship that she's like, I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. So they should meet her halfway, I think.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Meet me halfway.
Made a mistake for you. I'll be looking now. Looking out. Meet me halfway.
Help me.
I barely use the song.
Thank you everybody for coming to the Comfort Level Pod. Thank you for sharing your stories and thank you for commenting on all the stories. We really appreciate it and we love being able to read everything that you guys all have to say.
Yep.
Thank you Yvonne for coming to the Comfort Level Podcast.
Hello.
And we will see you guys next time. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.